Earnings out Tuesday after the close from Texas Instruments. The numbers look great. The beat on the bottom line. Revenue showed an increase really for the first time in a couple of years. But Wall Street seemed to walk away with sort of a ho-hum, and the analysts were not particularly impressed. Rafael Lazzardi was on that conference call, leading it as Chief Financial Officer of Texas Instruments, and joins us right now. It's good to have you with us.
Good to be here, David. Good morning.
And tell me about the quarter, because, I mean, this was really quite a remarkable quarter. We seem to have tremendous demand in all of the areas where you're hot. I mean, everybody's working from home and buying personal electronics and mesh Wi-Fi systems. The sales of smart cars seem to be taking off. Tell me about the business.
Yeah, so automotive, we had a strong quarter. We finished, we grew 18% from second quarter and grew year on year about 1%. That growth was led by automotive and personal electronics. So automotive, a lot of auto companies had shut down in second quarter or decreased production significantly. Now they're ramping back up. And personal electronics, as you said earlier, people are buying more computers, more monitors, more gadgets while they're at home. And that secular trend was happening already, of course. But it seems that the current dynamics have potentially accelerated that. So we're seeing tremendous growth in the personal electronics space.
Well, those are two big areas, and probably close to half of your sales. What about the industrial business? Has that suffered?
So industrial is hanging in there. It's kind of running sideways since first quarter. Now remember, industrial is an amalgamation of a bunch of pieces, right? So for us, industrial is almost like everything else, right? It goes from building automation, grid, medical devices. So there are pockets there that are doing really well, like medical, for obvious reasons, is strong. But then there are other areas like aviation is not doing so well, also for obvious reasons. But in general, industrial is hanging in there, and that's the beauty of that business. So diversified. The majority of the 100,000 customers that we have are industrial customers, and the majority of the 80,000 products that we sell into industrial customers.
You know, I've seen a lot of announcements here lately as these automobile businesses are shifting over to producing electronic vehicles, and obviously that'll help your business. Maybe Volkswagen spending like $2 billion in Chattanooga, and GM is retooling that old Saturn plant south of Nashville, and they're ordering robots like crazy. Are you in that business? I mean, thousands of robots.
Yeah, so you mentioned two secular trends, what we like to call, that are happening. One is on the vehicle side. As you said, more and more companies are selling electric vehicles. And when you go from an average internal combustion engine car to an electric vehicle, you go from somewhere between $300 to $400 of semiconductor content to about $1,000 of semiconductor content. Because once you put a battery, you just have a lot of power that you have to distribute through the car, a lot of ways you have to manage that battery and do that. So that increases the semiconductor content. But on internal combustion engines, you are also having more semiconductors. So for example, now cars are moving to 48-volt batteries to control things like the HVAC system and some of the pumps versus a traditional 12-volt battery. And that adds more semiconductor content there. You also mentioned the robots, right? So that's part of industrial. So that's a factory automation, and that is more efficient, it's safer, and that adds a lot of semiconductor content as well.
Is there Moore's Law at work here? Or I don't know if it's Moore's Law or not. Maybe that's it, where the price keeps going down. But it seems like there is this increased demand, but is it putting pressure on the margins that you make, the profit margins on the chips?
No, because... you know, take maybe an example I like to bring up is an X-ray machine at a dentist's office, right? My wife's a dentist, so I'm familiar with those. The cheapest X-ray machine you buy for an office is $30,000, and those go as high as a couple hundred thousand dollars. You know, our customers, the ones that make the X-ray machines, they're willing to pay an extra $1, $2, $3, $4 for semiconductors. That are going to do the job right. They're going to be high quality. They're going to have the right voltages and currents and so forth. in order to make their $30,000, $100,000 machine more efficient, more reliable. So they tend to be less price sensitive in that space. The robots that you talked about, same thing, right? Those robots are worth a ton of money. They want the very best parts to manage those robots.
Well, and they can't have any downtime because the whole that's line right. stops. You know, you've got to have.
And that's it. That's right. And that's a lot more expensive than an extra couple bucks in semiconductors.
I would think.
You know, our average prices are 30 to 40 cents. So we are at the very low end of what purchasing managers care about when it comes to reducing their cost.
Tell me what you're seeing worldwide. I mean, there are not many more multinational companies in Texas Instruments. We've been through periods where, you know, we had trade wars or the spectrum of trade wars and disruption in the supply chain. But I haven't heard much about that lately. Is it calm?
Those tensions are there. They are there primarily there between the United States and China. The good news for us is that our products, because they're so diverse, they also, as I said, there's so many of them that it's difficult to compete against us, whether you're an American-based company or a Chinese-based company. You need a huge portfolio of products in order to attack this space. So that protects us to a certain extent, but of course we have to continuously innovate and release new products that are cutting edge in order to continue to stay ahead.
Yeah, and as you say, there's this increased demand in every area for chips, which leads me to maybe the last area I want to talk about, which is supply. Are you feeling the need to ramp up production or open up some of the plants that you had kind of held off? And I think of, you know, the North Texas plant that you've been working on and sort of had, I guess, is ready to open up, right?
Well, a couple of things there. First, when the pandemic started, unlike most companies in our space, we maintained production. We kept production at the same levels despite an expectation of revenue decrease. And that's what we call optionality. It gave us the option to serve the market if it turned out to be strong, which it did. So that has put us in a really good position versus our competitors, many of which are increasing their lead times and even charging expedite fees. We're not doing any of that. We have plenty of inventory available. Our lead times remain short. So that has put us in an excellent position.
So are you ramping up production then?
Yeah. So also you asked about the factory here.
Yeah.
So we are, that is going to be our third 300 millimeter factory. 300 millimeter is the size, 12 inches is the size of the wafer. That's going to be a third 300 millimeter factory for analog. And we're essentially the only company that has its own analog factory for analog integrated circuits. That factory is, we're now in the process of building it. The foundation is being laid. We have cranes there and all kinds of construction equipment. It should be done sometime in late 21, early 22. And then at some point in 2022, we'll be able to have production from that factory. We have ample capacity until that point. So, but if growth continues to happen like we expect, we will need it in 22, 23, 24 at some point. So we'd rather have it that factory sooner rather than later.
Well, and it sounds like it's going to be just in time. Meanwhile, if you know somebody who can get me a webcam, they're on back order for 6 weeks right now.
Yeah,
it's a hot market for consumers. Rafael Lizardi is the Chief Financial Officer of Texas Instruments. We appreciate the time today, sir. Thank you.
Thanks, David.
Thanks. For more of our conversation with Mr. Lizardi, go to krld.com/CEO. I'm David Johnson, News Radio 1080 KRLD.